Hello, hello. Welcome to the King Heroes Journey podcast. I'm here all by myself so far. Just waiting for my guest today, Miss Amanda Vollmer. So happy to talk with her and to be seeing her not too long from now, actually. And it was a little bit of a late addition, but Anis Adia is going to be joining us as well, who is the creator of the Soulshine Festival, where I'm going to be seeing Amanda in just under less than 4 weeks now, 3 weeks, I guess. We're down to 3 weeks, maybe going on 2 weeks, I think. So welcome to the podcast, and we're going to be getting started. I think since my guests aren't here yet, I'm going to just share a little tune with you. Got my guitar right here, got this one back. This guitar is like 30 years old, and now it's it got some love. That's really good. So I'll just have a little sing at you guys while we're waiting. Thank you so much for being here. Do share this out. I am so stupidly shadow banned. Oh, let me make sure to get Rockfin going, by the way. Here we go. So I don't leave them hanging in the dust over there. And I'm going to be singing some kirtan at Soulshine Fest. So it's made me dust off a whole bunch of my music. Oh, and we got some people showing up here. Gloria, awesome. Nice to see you. Flat Smack Biblical and Mike New. And thank you, Paul. Always appreciate your love. And here's Amanda. So, Amanda, I was just going to share a song. If you want a minute to just settle yourself. And if for any reason you want to get started right away, just give me a thumbs up. But otherwise, I'll just share a little bit of a song. I'm assuming you can hear me. Here we go. Om. Om. Om Sarve Sham. Om Sarve Sham Om Sarve Sham 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 Om. And so, Amanda, can you hear me? Got her in the backstage. Good. Okay. Yeah. So we're just letting her get settled there. Sarve Sham, 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 Om. And I think I will leave it at that for now. I have one for possibly the end of the stream as well that has the Soulshine Festival theme. And got lots of people joining here. That's awesome. Welcome, everybody. And Amanda, whenever you're ready, you just give me the thumbs up and I'll bring you on. And the thumbs up came. Fantastic. Here we go. All right.
Hey, hello, Beth.
Hi. So nice to see you.
You too. How are you doing?
I am well, thank you. Yeah. You sound a little bit on the distant side. I don't know if that's your mic.
I'll get closer.
Just yeah.
Get closer, maybe.
Yeah. It doesn't sound like your beautiful mic. Might
weird.
Have to check the settings.
Oh, it's not my mic? Oh, okay. Let me check settings.
Yeah. It didn't change when you got closer. So, and I'll just say hello to people in the chat. Oh, Trinity 4 is here. Welcome. So great. Got the Flat Earth crew here. And Missy Bear, welcome. the Lintano, and Chelsea. So great. Hearing room reverb. Yeah, that's we got a sound techie in the room here. So there's a gear button down at the bottom. You must be familiar.
No, I'm in there. I just don't remember the name of this mic because there's so many now.
There you go. Well, feel free to experiment around with it.
I will play. Just a second.
Yeah, take your time. Yeah, so this stream is pretty shadow banned. Oh my gosh, I even watched the subs go down on my channel on this one, so it's a little depressing. So if you feel like it and you're up to it, why don't you share out the link I'm going to grab for this stream. This is the blog where you can find the Rockfin link, which I can just share in the chat here as well. We got some people on Rockfin. Welcome over there. So that's good, excited.
Better?
Oh, much better. Much better. Okay. There you go.
Yeah, I off the wrong mic. Yeah.
Okay, good. Good. Yeah. No, it's always good to find out those things before rather than later.
So I'll turn my volume. Well, I'm in Reno's, so everything's chaotic right now. So probably also why the room is more echoey, because there's not a lot of stuff in it right now.
Okay, very good. But yeah, no, it's not that echo chamber that it was before. So yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. So we're going to be joined by Anas Adia as well. And what inspired me to host Amanda for the stream today is that Soulshine Festival is coming right up, about 2.5 weeks. And Amanda is going to be there. And I decided I was going to fly across the country with my son to come be at it. There's so many beautiful people in Ontario that I have connected with only electronically. And my soul called me. A few people were saying like, hey, Beth, you should go. And I'm like, I'm in. So it's all going to work out. And Amanda, how are you?
Good. It's great. I've been at the Soulshine Festival since the beginning, and it's growing nicely. It's developing well, and it's a great time. It's fun, but also you're with people who get it and who are peaceful and the freedom fighter types, and we just educate each other and try to heal each other. Where there's a healing forest, and I think I might give a few offerings this year because I really miss doing Reiki. I kind of shied away from doing it for a while, and really doing a lot of just any type of energy healing or really even consultations, because I really had to. Actually, the last little while, maybe a year, I've had to really go inward in another layer. Like, we're always growing and changing, and I needed to like recenter myself and I'm what's my purpose here, you know, because I had a trajectory before COVID, right? Teaching, my videos were very specific about certain health topics, and I that was my purpose and trajectory. And then this whole pandemic happened, and it threw me off kilter. It threw me in lots of different places, which is also wonderful in a lot of ways too, because I, you know, got to go and meet everyone, and I'm going to be going and traveling further from this and meeting other really important people who have been, you know, teachers. But I got lost in it a bit. Like, what am I doing, or what do I teach? Even the point where Anas, he'll probably say it, but you know, I've been back and forth with him. I'm like, I don't know what to teach this year. There's so much to teach that I have like analysis paralysis. It's like, what is the most important thing, or what should I teach this year? You know, because usually I do two workshops each year. Last year it was an inner child meditation workshop. The year before, I taught trauma release exercises. I always do some sort of lecture on some health topic. I've taught obviously about dimethyl sulfoxide. I can't remember what I did the year before, probably herbal medicine of some sort. But this year, I don't know. I don't know. I'm lost. I'm a lost little sheep here. Like, what do I? Well, I'm not a sheep, but you know what I mean. And I need to focus, like, what do people want to hear? What do they crave? So I think it'll be some sort of inner work again. I think that's the real important stuff, is helping people heal, helping people communicate, releasing old wounds and traumas, emotional pain. Because if we're not clear there, we can't really collaborate. How are we supposed to build new systems and situations if we can't even talk properly, we can't even share properly. We want to talk about big things like equity law. You know, I'm very passionate about that, but I'm still studying it, you know? So I don't really feel I'm in a position where I should be teaching too much of it. But that's important too. You know, when the nurse fundraiser just happened a few weeks back and I did speak to it, you know, I said, look, we have solutions, guys. Don't worry. I know it seems dire, but we do have a path that we are forging. And also a path that's already been laid out too, that we can use, right? So that's where I've been at. I've been just sort of, what's the direction now? What's the goal? And so now that I've recentered, I'm kind of coming back full circle to where I was before this all happened. And we've just launched a couple of courses on yummy.doctor, and there's lots more to come. We're just getting our plan together on how we're going to keep launching them and keep moving them forward without me burning out again, like I have in the past, because it's all, you know, pinning on me, being focused and clear. And if I'm not focused and clear, then nothing really happens. So, it's a weird time of my life. You know, I'm 49 now, and I know my hormones are changing, and the way that I think is sort of changing, and I feel like I want to slow down in a way, in a different kind of way. Like the pace is, I'm desiring it to be different. But so far I'm still gathering pieces and getting really clear with myself and actually hiring other practitioners, which I rarely do, but so I can really hear myself and I can really have a clear mirror to see where my perspectives need to alter, or maybe I have an old thought form that doesn't serve me anymore, that's blocking me, you know, this sort of thing. We always have to do these reflections. We can't just work and then wake up one day and go, what's happening in my life, you know? So yeah, that's where I'm at currently.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. I appreciate your authenticity. And I mean, it's so King Hero of you, not blowing smoke up your butt, but that is, you know, that's the hero's journey. And it's very humbling when you've got so much accomplishment behind you, you've done so much, and then you're at the beginning again. And that's how I opened my book. I know I've been threatening to send this to you for a long time, but I think I'm definitely going to lay a copy on you at Soulshine. And it's easier when you're still, you know, maybe an infant or a toddler or a teenager, but once you've got that big world behind you, as if, then the beginning can be very painful. And you just think like, how could I possibly be here? And there's a lot of resistance and stuff like that. So I hope to talk with you more about that. If you guys aren't familiar with Amanda, I just want to make sure that you know she holds a doctorate degree in naturopathic medicine and is from the Ontario area. She's a professional holistic health practitioner, helping people to both prevent disease and heal naturally for over 15 years. You can see her website, yummy.doctor, on the banner there. And she's also can be found at yumnaturals.store. I know that the work that you do is all behind a wall now, a private wall, so people can't just come off the street. I know you got into a lot of trouble and were you're kind of the head of the spear for a lot of months through that pandemic that we were in. And welcome, climate demic. I think we're full on now with that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's anything else that you want me to share about you or share about yourself that people don't know. I think we're in pretty good company here, but there's always someone who might not know you.
Well, you know, what my focus really is, and trajectory is to help people feel empowered and with the tools and the knowledge to doctor themselves, to be able to be self-starters, to be able to ask themselves tough questions and get clear when they need to, like what, how do you do those things? And so I want people to feel that they're that confidence, that they don't need to continually be pulled into the slave system and the sort of vulture zombie medical cartel, and all their cronies and handlers, and that we need real freedom. And I'm a freedom fighter, but not that I'm fighting per se, but that I'm forging. And, you know, what we're doing is laying fresh paths down. What does it look like going forward? And there's so many people that now feel very hopeless. They see the future as bleak. And I don't want to ever be giving false hope or any sort of superficial, you know, I'm as real as they come. But I do want people to put their energy into proper manifestation with their thoughts and not spiral downward, and know that there's a lot to be done and to help. So I have to get focused myself first and then help focus others. So that's sort of what I do. And I go through this rebirth cycle and dark night of the soul cycle quite often, maybe more often than many, but it's because I have to shed the old layers and get a fresh thought, and then, you know, be energized by that. And that becomes my new motivation. And then I can be self-disciplined in that new motivation. But that's really why I did Yummy Dot Doctor and what I'm doing now with our community. I mean, we're all doing these pod type of communities that are supporting the needs of that community so that we can build each other up. I mean, I learned from Diana, who's studied under you. She came here and I got to see her again. She just left recently, actually, back to the UK. But she taught me about, you know, some of that somatic experiencing, or the importance of going inside where you're feeling it in your body and really exploring that sensation all the way to its core. And this type of introspection is very valuable. And it liberates a lot of energy to do that. So, you know, that's really what you're teaching is important. And I think we're all going to kind of amalgamate at some point. You know, we're all building our communities and our pods and our people, and everyone's helping everyone else. And at some point, you know, we're going to get to the bigger stuff, the bigger community and the other alignments. So I look forward to that, and I plan forward for that. As much as it's doom and gloom out there, I'm even really tiring of social media in general. Like, I don't want to post anymore. I have to push myself to do it, which that's not, something's happening there. It's not just the censorship and the shadow banning and the, now it's tech glitches, by the way. They're making it with Instagram. They keep making it so that it freezes. I'll go into the app and just freezes on me. So that was happening for weeks. I couldn't get in. And even if I try to log in on a website, it just says it's wrong. Like there's some error, some weird error. And like, yeah, right. Yeah, sure. So what's that? What's the chances of this, right? So I'm like, okay, rejection is protection. I want to remember that. And I'm like, maybe I'm not, shouldn't be doing this right now. Maybe that's what it's saying. What's the light part of this? What's the good part of this whole thing? Okay, I'm going to get my exercise routine back on track, because that got smooshed. COVID smooshed all my patterns, all my beautiful, that I had worked on that. I didn't even think about that, you know, for a long time. I was like, oh, right. That was the way I was. I had my schedule of my day when I wake up and I do my breathing and then I do my stretching and I do the things that I do with my daughter. And then I get into work. And then, so, you know, and then after work, I go for a walk on the boardwalk and wildcraft and then I'll come home and make something cool. Or that was the way. And I'm like, I don't do that. It's all over now. It's like whatever's pulling at me, I'll go this way or that way. And it's like, oh, I better post on social media. Oh, I better. No, what are you doing? No. So I think it's really retuning me now. And I like it. I like that. I have to listen to that. You know, is it always bad? Or is it just a mirror of something you need to get inside of your peace, inside of yourself, and not just P-E-A-C-E, but P-I-E-C-E inside of yourself that you're sorting. So if we shift our perspectives, you know, from that layer, then it's not a victimhood game anymore. Like, oh, poor me, they kicked me out of Instagram and whatever. Like, even when Elon's changed Twitter to this Masonic X, I'm so turned off. I'm so extra turned off now. I wasn't ever like a huge Twitter fan, but now I'm just, oh, he's going to put his X marks the spot on everything he owns. It's so egoic and annoying and obvious. And do I really even want to participate in it? And there's going to be a line in the sand drawn at some point where we're just going to exit, I think. Or we're not going to be allowed in their big club, right? We're not one of them. We didn't sell our souls. We're not singing songs to demons. You know, we're building our system. We're feeding the system at any level. We're not going to get microchipped. We're not falling for any of their con games or climate change hoax or any of this stuff, right? At some point, they're going to be like, okay, out with you. So we'll be fine. We'll just be otherwise with our own. Actually, Cordal, Mike Winner's project, Cordal, will have all of its own exchanges, like for and its own video hosting site, because you saw about the terms and conditions of Zoom, that update that they can take all of your images and voice and do whatever they want with AI with it. I'm like, no, thank you. They're so bold, aren't they?
Yeah, they really are. They really are. I see Anna says in the room, so welcome. I see you in the backstage there. I just wanted to respond to one thing. I mean, you've been through a lot, Amanda. You've been beat up. I'm amazed that you just keep on going and finding that spirit and strength inside yourself. And someone reminded me recently of the story of Daniel in the Bible and how, you know, all of the Israelites had been captured and taken to Babylon for total enslavement. But Daniel and was it his brothers had a very different experience, and they ended up rising and becoming an advisor to the king.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we've seen that already, that various people, some have gone very down. I have seen a lot of people rise and grow, mm-hmm. right? Like, and me included, I use this as a time to dig in, go harder. It was one or the other, right? Give up and die and prep, or put all my heart and soul into growing and moving forward on behalf of not just myself, but the people around. It's what makes it so hard for you to step back when you've got a kingdom already. And if you step back, then everything falls. So I'm not trying to, you know, scare you or anything about that, but it's a really different kind of a situation. So huge hats off to you.
Yeah, I think it was learning to delegate has been part of it. Like, I have a huge team now that's really on board, that we really worked on and supported, and you know, we continue to support, and we're bringing on another individual to help me. And so it's just all changing. It's going with the flow of the changes, and just that
got a little bit of a delay.
Checking it. Becoming. Oh, yeah. Did it come back now?
You're back now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Just walking the master's path is what I was saying. And keeping on that path. And when you fall down, like really getting back up again and continuing forward, like you were saying. So, yeah, it's great. It'll work out just well. Just fine.
Right. It becomes a good pattern for those of us who've taken a lot of hits in our life one way or another. And you just keep getting up, and you just keep getting up, and you just keep getting up. And it becomes like, oh, well, what do I do now that I got hit again? Oh, get up. there's this almost automatic positive pattern that that is in place from that. So yeah, good on you. Good on you, Amanda. And so shall we bring Anis on and have a chat about soul shine and building community? And very much want to follow up on what you were saying about, you know, we need to learn to get along, and even within small inner circles, there can be all kinds of drama that before we could just cancel somebody and move on. But we're in a different time now where community building is of a different importance. So, all right, Anis, are you ready to come? Thumbs up. Okay, perfect. Hello, Anis.
Hello.
Hi. Hi guys. Welcome here.
Hi, Anis.
Nice to have you.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me. Hi, Amanda. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
This is super exciting, and I can't thank you enough for having me. I've been listening to you guys talk and appreciating sort of all the synergy between what, you know, you guys are talking about and what's happening in general with me and with Soulshine. And I think we're all dealing with very similar threads of consideration in this interesting time, right? And so yeah, I can't thank you enough for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, total pleasure and honor. If you guys aren't familiar, Anis, is you're the creator of the Soulshine Festival, correct?
Yeah, I got it going, I guess.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And been supporting it quite heavily, I guess, ever since. But the team's grown substantially, of course, since the beginning. But I would say, I initiated it, but it came with a lot of the energy from the protests and a few other circles that were sort of trying to figure out what to do about the world. That's sort of where we're still at. You know, it's the same circles, but we've grown and we've developed since.
Fantastic. Yeah, it's so good. What we were pushed to in these last days, having to literally, you know, lay down and die or fight and take to the streets. One of the things that I really love about you guys, and I wouldn't hold it against anyone, but the festival being entirely unsupported from government and corporate sponsorship meant you were like a magnet for the freedom community, because, you know, all the festivals around here, they're all woke. They all next thing you know, required the poison jab. And, you know, it was just like, okay, that is not my world anymore. I don't care how much I love festival culture and connecting with people live time like that. It was off the charts for me. So it made it easier even to decide to come out to Soulshine.
Right. It was actually a very important decision to organize that festival that early, that fast. It was sort of a very last minute consideration. We saw all the other gatherings literally everywhere ask for the mandate, like just go with the health unit or whatever. And from that energy, all the various communities somewhat shattered in a way, like everything did kind of shake and through that shaking, all the like the best are sort of like the most aware or alert people left. And it would be unsuspecting. You wouldn't really imagine who it would be, right? But the Kirtan community, for example, is a big community that was like, I mean, don't get me wrong, every community was sort of split on these issues, but I was personally surprised by really the plethora of musicians specifically, like, because it was hard to see them during this time, and it was hard for musicians specifically to do something about what was happening. That one of the many sort of subcategories of people, so that was really, really exciting for me to see that others were able to find an opportunity with us and to just kind of collect it with the value system of, you know, freedom being critical and like real sort of practical today freedom, not sort of idealistic and, oh, we love freedom, like Burning Man, excuse me. So there's a lot of that, right? So I see that all the time. And I've always been motivated to get a festival going. This is actually the third or fourth attempt. So, you know, you sort of what you were saying, Amanda, you gotta fail a whole bunch before you sort of, there's a lot of figuring things out. It's not just an easy path forward when we're doing this kind of work. And so,
Yeah, people don't know it behind the scenes, but there's a whole lot more failure in this path than there is success. You're just not seeing it. Like how many times a day I would hear no from somebody, or things didn't work, or I got stuck. And, you know, it's just, you develop muscle for that. You develop the nervous system for it. We did a great interview with Bear Lando on that one, really affirming how it's not damage to your nervous system. It is giving you that opportunity to take on more potentially and be of greater service, which to me is the ultimate trajectory of that King Hero mm-hmm. archetype. Nice to hear about the, before we jump in and talk about community building, nice to hear about the Kirtan community, because I've been a little bit removed from that. And especially the last 3 years, I picked up my guitar, I bet you, you know, 5 times in 3 years. And it always felt like it, you know, is this really a purpose? What am I doing this for? I need to go and do something more tangible, or, you know, hit the streets. And I want to thank you, Anis, because inviting me to be part of the Kirtan at Soulshine has given me my music back. And I am full on interested in it again. I also had a lot of, I'll say, weird run-ins with people who I don't even know how to say this without offending somebody, but, you know, Christians, I don't know what to say. And then, you know, I was like, oh, my music is evil, or mantras are evil, or all of this kind of stuff. And so I've just come full circle now where I've taken it back, and it's like, well, I'm not evil and I don't have any evil intentions with this. And the sounds are beautiful and the meanings are beautiful. So I'm just going to take it all back. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So thanks to you for inviting me to do that. Otherwise I may not have come back to it.
Right. Right. No, this is actually very interesting. Even Amanda, you know, Amanda and I, we've talked about this as well. I think the festival is sort of by its form puts itself in a position where it has to kind of figure out what to do about every sort of practical thing that a human might be interested in a community. And so there's like you need to have an answer, a real answer. And so we're trying to navigate this reality now where there is like, what's true and what's really like, what's actually ours and what isn't, and what's helpful and what is sort of detrimental. And I think slowly but surely, as a community, we'll be able to hash that out to some degree. But to maintain the ultimate rules that I think we all sort of, all the ultimate value essence of what we're doing, like maybe it's the golden rule, for example, you know, speaking of Christianity, like, so we're really into that, right? But then also Kirtan, you know, so it's like, it's a bit of a different new energy. And that's what's one of the reasons I'm super excited, because I feel like we're creating something new, even though it's a culmination of all the things that have existed for eons.
Well, that's what happened with me and Reiki. That was right. Exactly the same thing. I was like, feeling judged that doing that. And I thought, okay, maybe I got to stop and really look at this. But I think I just let judgment stop me from doing something that was really very beautiful and very healing, mm-hmm. and labeled it as something wrong. So now again, full circle where we had to lose it to really own it again, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. and find it. And that's like, yes, I am dedicated to that. Yes, it is important. I do this. So
beautiful. Yeah, beautiful to hear. Yeah, that's amazing. And so building community, we've all seen how difficult that is. It's, you know, a lot of people come together and split apart, and it's been tough. I think one of the deciding factors, just to be totally transparent about it, one of the deciding factors to come to Soulshine was that, you know, my local community, the staggering number of people who've canceled me here in the last year, like, you know, making formal letters of farewell. Like some people, they're just slink away, gracefully slink away, and they're not there. But they had to make sure that, like, Beth, you're canceled. You're off the list. You're this and you're that. And I'm just like, okay, God, you're stripping everything away from me. Just tell me, what do you want from me at this time? And then Soulshine was in the mix at that point, and I was like, okay, well, if sometimes people aren't liked in their hometown, I'll go someone else's hometown. And see how that goes. But, you know, what is it that stands in our way? Amanda, you started to talk about it just in terms of like the inner work that maybe people don't do. The Freedom Community, it's a very large demographic. You know, some people love God, they don't love God. They like responsibility, they hate responsibility. It's a really big mix of, if you just say people who don't like poison injections, then that you're just getting everybody under the sun. So what are those obstacles that we're facing if we just really start to name them so they could be something we could actively work on?
Yeah, it'd be good if we did. That's like a great, we should do the more of those free form brainstorming sessions, you know, where everyone's like, when you think about the NPCs, what first comes to mind or whatever, you know? And because like ego, really, ego and fear, and they're kind of hand in hand. I see that as being a really huge problem that stops people from expanding. And in order to learn, you have to be open-minded, which means you can't be stuck in your ways, right? You have to be able to be wrong, be okay with being wrong. Maybe they're huge mistakes. That could be your career. That could be something you did with your children, like vaccinate them. Could mean a lot of painful emotions that come when you realize these mistakes. And a lot of people would rather live the lie and that pain, at least it's a knowable pain, than the unknowable, which they know there'll be some pain there. They just don't know at what level. But unfortunately, they miss the other part, which is the joy and the bliss and the connection and the soul path and all of these other things that come with that bravery, with that courage, and really feeling the fear and doing it anyway, because fear's there. You know, it still stays with you in different levels of things because healthy fear is supposed to be there. And what's interesting is, you know, the virtual reality stuff they're putting on our kids now and popularizing because they want us in the metaverse. And that's the trajectory they're putting for those who won't do this work. That's way more painful, I would say, what they're planning for them. But an experience that someone told me of a game or whatever, if it's a game, I don't even know, but you can have experiences where they're walking the plank on a high-rise building. And normally that would be a fear-inducing action to try to walk a long plank on the edge of a very tall building. And if you fall, you're going to die, kind of thing. And they're making people do this in the virtual reality headset, which means one of the goals of it is to turn down your own natural instincts, fear that protect you from death. And then there's unreasonable fear, which locks you up, right? So I found that really alarming that this is what their goal is. And so a lot of the manipulations, the psychological manipulations that are happening for people, they're very confused. And so they're in that constant fear of the unknown, and they just don't have their instincts anymore. It's not with them. So I mean, these people are going to need support when they are really, really lost. And we can see how many already are. I mean, look at the streets of, if you haven't been to Toronto in a while, you'd be shocked to see the streets of Toronto. I mean, before Justin Trudeau's, you know, communist army came to power, we didn't have tent cities like that. Like not to this insane degree. I can't even believe it's degraded so quickly. I don't know if you have anything going on in your province, but I know BC and Ontario are both really, really bad. And these are people who have fallen. They've lost their way. They didn't have their community there to catch them. They didn't have the ability to reflect and see where their ego was stuck and where they needed to own their mistakes and feel that and then continue to achieve. They just gave up and, you know, fell.
Yeah, it's the same in Manitoba. I don't go out and about almost anywhere, but every time we do, there's a new little tent city under a new bridge or something like that. Manitoba, or Winnipeg in particular, looks like a third world country. They are manicuring the sidewalks and completely neglecting the roads, except that they come and they destroy the road in the guise of construction. Only, like, we've got a bridge that's going to be closed for 3 years. And every day you go by and it's like, there any progress? Any progress? No, nothing going on. So I swear they're cutting up our city. You can't go around a street without coming to some kind of blockade that is, again, construction. But no doubt, you know, and they've started with the 15-minute city, the stupid bicycle lanes that are so dangerous. They are incredibly dangerous. So yeah, I mean, if it wasn't clear, it certainly is clear now. I haven't been to Toronto for, I swear it's been like 25 years or more. I used to go every year before I went to India, and I have very fond memories of it, but it's probably going to be a little sad to get there. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah. So Ennis, what do you think? What are the big blocks? Anything to add to what Amanda said? I agree that, you know, fear and ego is kind of covers a lot of water there.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, maybe I can go back to maybe my initial motivation for the festival, even, because it's all tied in, right? So sort of like the primary goal, I think, of the festival is to generate a community that I like personally. So, you know, like I can explain maybe how it sort of happened, because it ties in to what happened on television in 2020. You know, so it ties into that. And so I was, you know, we're both, I think all three of us are highly aware. And I think we've known for before what happened in 2020. We've known for quite some time, and we've had our own journey that the world isn't as it was described in all of this. And I feel like, you know, I'm in this category where before all of this happened, I sort of was already really seeing the breaks in my own community and in my own friendship circles, and sort of and in the intimacy level that I was getting. And I just knew there was something like really wrong, generally speaking. And I've been through a few circles, right? And I've done a few different projects at this point. It's not like I haven't tried to meet people. And so my plan actually was to leave to go to the Middle East, where it was the last place I remember deeper community, like a community where everyone wants to make sure everyone gets married, for example. I know that's a kind of like a whatever thing, but like, just as an example, like everybody's all into the stuff that's happening in the community. Like when you argue or fight about something, even if you're wrong, you sort of go, whatever, like, because you live right beside that family. Like you grew up together, you're not going anywhere. Like these are locked in communities, like generally, like the poorer ones, I should say, but a large number of them. And so even though the community itself could improve or whatever, but it was just this general feeling like, at least over there, like there's this thing where everyone really cares about what's happening everywhere else, and sort of how it all kind of, and there's systems that are old, you know, they're, you know, traditional and all of this. So the plan was to do that, but then they, you know, they shut off they turned off air travel, the mafia sort of airline, right? And so then I was stuck here. So instead of going there and doing like this retreat center, we were going to do this thing where we're going to maybe even bring some therapy into the mix. There's a lot of people there that have like deep sort of traumas but not a lot of systems that are psychologically aware systems, or even energetically aware. Like it's all like Big Pharma kind of does dominate the Middle East to a very large degree. More, I mean, it's almost hard to explain, but it is more so than here, in my opinion, like per person. Like there isn't some sort of freedom community there meeting and throwing a festival. Like it's just, it's not like that at all. Nobody's doing that because they have a bit of that community. So they're not, like they're in a bit of community, but not able to defend themselves against or create that awareness. So anyway, long-winded answer to the community building. It's sort of, I want a community where I can trust my friends. I want to be able to have a high level of intimacy with a lot of different people all the time. Like I want it to be kind of normal. And I want to be able to have a family that has a support system within a community. I don't want to sort of launch myself into fatherhood by myself in a country where like you can't even go to send your kid to school anymore without like all these issues or whatever. You know, like I already felt this before. You know, I was a huge fan of Amanda Vollmer before all of this happened. And I just had a gut instinct. Like I was like, we need Amanda the first year. It's so important. Like that we have a voice that can kind of articulate all this stuff while I personally was just busy with logistics, you know? And so like, we're all playing our roles, I think. And so this is what I'm excited for. And it's already kind of, I can already see, I've already surrounded myself with my people I would never have dreamed of meeting before. And like, kind of like even you guys, I don't know if it would have happened if the last 3 years didn't pan out the way they did. So, just to answer your question, community. I want as deep of a community as I can find, but really I want one that I like. So I don't know if that's maybe like the simplest level, like kindergarten level. I just want a community that matches my level of awareness or interest.
I can totally relate to that, Annis. And I had the blessing my life of, you said the word earlier, Amanda, being rejected. And you know, over and over, I was trying to fit in with this and fit in with that and this group and that group. And just for one reason or another, I was always on the fringes and pushed out. And it was sort of like, well, I think God is asking me to create my own community for that exact reason. So that, you know, now with my House of Free Will, I literally vet people. I get them to ask or answer questions, and then I look and I see, is it actually a match between us, or are there some obvious signs? And, you know, after 20 years of vetting people, I'm not perfect at it. I'm getting better. It's less and less where there will be someone in my zone that doesn't belong, who doesn't actually, you know, isn't a team player and doesn't have people's best interests, maybe my best interest. But yeah, that's the calling right there, to create not just for other people, but for yourself, so that when you're hungry to fit in, it's part of us, right? Like we're not solitary animals. That's not the way it is. We can't do anything great that way. We won't survive that way either. It's all been artificially propped to make us feel like we could be that independent. And so there's nothing like just taking it upon yourself. I'm gonna create and do this. And so congratulations, both of you, for setting yourself to that task.
Yeah, it's interesting that I never really thought of myself as a community builder. Like I didn't say, oh, that's what I'm doing, but it was similar feeling, like I need my tribe. So what does my tribe look like? Because I know I can't survive isolated like this. And going through the most isolation, I actually, my numerological year last year was number one. So I don't know if people do numerology, but I follow it because there's a signature and I try to notice the themes of my life and apply them appropriately so that I learn all the lessons I'm supposed to in any given cycle. And so I knew that was going to be a very isolating number one year, and it really was. And wouldn't even matter if it was physical or not, because you feel inside of you isolated, like you're in your own mind, you're in your own headspace. You don't feel you can communicate yourself so that other individual will really see you, hear you, and relate to what you're saying. So you just get really locked in. It's very introspective, and it's very where you want to wander off into the forest and just get lost for a while kind of thing. But I just had my birthday and I was so excited about number two. I'm like, oh, I can't wait, because it's going to be people. It's going to be one-on-one, really deep. What's partnership? What's like partnership in business, partnership in relationships, partnership with your child, all of these really deep interpersonal connections where you do feel seen and you are clear mirrors for each other, and you get those bits of yourselves you didn't see, and you feel the appreciation, you feel that you're here, you're seen. And so I'm noticing it already. It's already happening. So I'm very, very happy about that. But it's important to notice all of these parts of our lives. And as you know, now I'm like, oh, I guess I am a community builder, you know, but I was innocently just looking for my people, because I knew that where we were headed. And I woke up early too, like you guys, you know, I mean, I knew way back that this is not going in the right way. Okay. even woke, even with some of the woke ideology that stuck to me, like, oh, the environmental stuff, which is true. I mean, the irony is it's worse now because they're making it worse, because they have to try to convince us that climate change is real. So they have to make it more detrimental, right? But even back then, I'm like, this isn't going in a healthy way. We better connect and find people. So you go through layers of how is that even, what is that even? It's like when someone said to me, embody your divine feminine. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Like, how do I physically actually practically do that? I don't even know, right? So it's the same thing with community building. It's a nice concept. It rings in your ears nice, but it's like, well, what is that? Like, do I just go over to someone's house, knock on the door, say, hey, can I come in and meet you? Like, what does that mean? Like, how does this all happen? But now I see it because we're all being community leaders, and that's building the tribe, and then the tribe will coalesce. And the other thing I realized this year is I don't need everybody, because you can only have so many people. I can't remember what the number is. There was a study done. It was like 360 people or a certain amount of people that you can even know, physically know in your mind, in your, like, how many names you can know, right? Realistically in your local, you know, tribe. And anyway, only a handful of them are super intimate, and the rest are still more associates. So, like, there's roles that everyone plays, and you might see them 10 times a year, but they're still part of your tribe, right? So what does that look like? And thinking outside the box, thinking about all the different ways we interact, really to come to a fair and equitable agreement that we're here to help each other. So it's not taking stock of things, you know, it's rising above those, that bickering and the drama. I can't stand drama. I run far away from drama. That's like my litmus test there. I bet for you too, right?
Yeah. And it's funny how, you know, what you resist persists. So I have a similar thing, and a renewed commitment. I've always been a little bit like that. I wonder what my number is, by the way. But you know, I would rather face the drama real head on. I think you must be the same, Amanda. I'm not sure. I'm just still getting to know you, Ennis, but you know, I'm the person that wants to know the bad news. I want to know, like, I don't want to just go on with rose-colored glasses and pretend everything's okay. I would rather give, you know, have the opportunity to actually sit down. You know, there's I've got something going on right now. And I like what you're saying just about, what I've noticed is that the circles have a number of layers to them. And there's outer circle where it's like, welcome. We don't know each other. I look forward to getting to know you, and I'm going to watch you a little bit. I hate to say that, but we're going to see how this goes and take a little bit of inventory. And then sometimes people work their way. And then next thing you know, there's an inner core of people who genuinely trust. And I mean, trust is tricky, because I really have decided, especially in these last 3 years, that I don't trust people. Neither do I mistrust people, but I trust God. Mm-hmm. Trust is not for people. It's not like that at all. So I'm going to X that word out of what I just said. But when the inner circle forms and you see that, you know, just simple things, when you rise, what do people around you do? Do they get jealous? Do they hate you? Do they stop supporting you? Do they, you know, and I've seen that every single time I take up what is actually a little step, but it's big for me. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, where did everybody go? Okay, good to know. And then, oh, this small group, they're cheering for me, even if they felt some jealousy or something, right? You know, I watch people rise and shine. I'll get a pang of my own jealousy. Like, oh my gosh, I should be doing great like that. But do I let it interfere in that relationship? No, I go to work releasing that and seeing inside myself. I just want to also quickly highlight something that you said, Amanda, just about being seen. It is both people's biggest fear to be seen for their true authentic self, and it's their biggest desire at the same time. So there's so much for us in that. You know, if you can genuinely be yourself and people are still present and with you, and it actually deepens the connection, then you know you're among right ones. And while I'm going off here, I'll just say one more thing. I got some amazing advice from a coach not too long ago, because I was feeling super isolated. And when people were canceling me, I'm thinking like, oh my gosh, now it's more important than ever to build lasting relationships. And here they are falling like flies by the wayside. And the coach suggested a brand new goal, and it was not to have lasting relationships, but to have loving relationships. And then it was so freeing for me, because whomever I am with and I'm in front, I can totally control that I'm a loving person, but I can't control if they're going to stick around forever or what, you know, what the timeline is going to be. So that was really beautiful, and just letting it be and you know, some surrender. Anyway, I'm going to let you guys talk now. Anything you want to pick up on there, thread-wise?
Go ahead and ask.
Oh, me? Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of things you guys mentioned I want to talk about, like vetting, but now it's like the festival as well, you know, that's just, you guys, again, like you said, it's 2.5 weeks away. So that, like, I'm like this, right? Like, there's a lot of work and it's unbelievable. But it's funny, someone tuning into this is like, what are they talking about, this festival? It sounds like a lot of work, whatever. What kind of festival is this, right? Like, it's a very different environment than I think people expect it to be, which is, of course, we're, you know, we're there, we're eating nice meals, we're listening to music, but there's an air of awareness that just, it almost, it's palatable, but it's like almost it like pushes people away that don't resonate with it. Like they look at it as there's something that they can't deal with usually. Again, Beth, you mentioned this earlier, like there's usually a block or something. And again, Amanda, that's why it's like, super important to do inner work, I think, personally, for a community to generate and be, you know, good. I mean, for any reason, you need good work to sort of reconnect with source, reconnect with God energy, and get in this whole thing with getting along. Like, if everybody can figure out how to do that, like how to have these loving relationships, we can slowly generate that environment where you know, conflict isn't even that big of a deal. Like, instead of having very strong conflict resolution, I'm seeing within the core crews, like the layers, right? There's like, also same with the festivals, like these layers. And really conflict is at a very low level in the center. It's very, very low. Like the 50 that are in the middle, like the crew leads, like no one's fighting anybody. Nobody's arguing. Nobody's angry with anyone. It's like, there might be a bit of frustration, but it's like, hey, dude, why didn't you get back to me? It's like, yeah, because of this, whatever. So it's, there's no, you know, it's very, very good there. And I'm really happy about seeing that. It gives me a little bit of, like, seeing that pattern and living that pattern gives me some sort of like extra vigor when I'm working, or extra sort of energy. So yeah, so I, you know, with the vetting process as well, so we've got, again, the middle tier is just more highly vetted, and like it's not even vetted, it's like we warn people, like I feel like over time, and this is something I'll be proud of personally, is that our crew becomes known as a, like a place, it's like a grinder. It's a place you go and you really do the work. Like, if you're not ready, don't join Soulshine Crew. Like, it's not really, come as a participant first, see what it's like. Like, go to an Amanda Vollmer workshop. So that doesn't scare you. Maybe you actually want to embody what we're talking about.
And actually, maybe they should all come to me and I'll scare the crap out of everyone. And then for sure, the ones will scurry away and we'll be good.
No, I think that's the best policy. That's what we've been going with so far. And it's been working pretty well in keeping the community because we don't want to grow in size. You can imagine something like this, if it was well promoted and well distributed, like it'll grow so fast. We'll be in, you know, I don't want to mention numbers, but like, we're trying to keep it small. It's still bigger than most people expect, but it's still small in the grand scheme of things. And we're trying to find that magic number as well. We talked about this over the fire last time. You know, we're trying to find that magic number or a magic trajectory of numbers, like, you know, trying to find what makes sense for us, because we're not just doing this for as like a festival for joy, you know, or a festival to ascend without the, you know, without the work. As is your workshop, Beth, if you want to actually mention what you're going to be talking about as well, because I know Amanda and I were still hashing it. There's so much Amanda could do, right? That's kind of most of the problem, is that you have so much to offer. Normally people are like they got the one thing, but Amanda's, and I feel like a lot of us, I'm finding more and more people like that, but Amanda's particularly well-rounded. So, but yeah, so Beth, you've got a workshop basically about this, you know, this whole concept. So,
yeah, thanks. So if you guys aren't familiar, you can visit soulshinefestival.ca to see more details. If you happen to be in the Ontario area or even further away, like I am, you might be drawn to it. So many good things that you're talking about there. So yeah, the workshop that I'm doing, it's funny, after I gave you the go ahead and like just publish and put it out, I'm started scratching my head going like, I wonder if that's going to be really unpopular, because a common concept in the spiritual world is that we're here to ascend, that it is a rising process. And there is a half truth in that, but it ain't the whole truth. And I really do see how it is it's actually a trap for people. as you, because, you know, my world, it's about the conscious and the unconscious and helping people to explore the unconscious, very highly nuanced kind of a subject. It's what I was dying of nearly or over 20 years ago when I had cancer. And I was on this ascension path. I'd been going to India every year and I was singing my mantras and raising my frequency and doing the meditations and all of that kind of thing. And then all of a sudden I'm a dying person. It's like, something ain't working there. Didn't work. And so I've spent a long time unpacking that. And even not too long ago, you will still have heard me. It wasn't really until the last 3 years that it fully came in for me. And it was with the help of Jesus showing up in my life. You know, I really can't say anything. I just know Jesus. That's all I know. I can't proselytize or tell anybody to believe anything. But I saw how, first of all, as you grow the higher realms, that all the things that we like, you know, joy and peace and freedom and acceptance and all of those kind of things, you are simultaneously growing the unconscious lower realm. You can't do one without the other. And so if you expand and you go really far into ascension, you're creating this big mess or revealing the big mess. It's hard to say, are you creating or just exposing? And then it's a double whammy, because if your spirituality says that you shouldn't have that big mess to deal with, that it's just a process of rising, then you're going to ignore and suppress it and pretend it's not there, right? So I was part of the yoga community for a while after I survived cancer, thinking, oh, they must be my tribe because they also like these things. And I've never found people more fake in my life. And backstabbing and mean and, you know, just can't even be friendly to the other. And I'm like, oh, your yoga didn't make you a good person. Darn it, something missing there. And so I've been on a bit of a bandwagon soapbox since then, just to help people understand the difference between, like, yes, you have to rise enough to, for example, if you don't have courage, you're not going to go in and get some dark unhealed wound from your childhood or wherever, right? You're not going to do it if you're shaking in your boots in fear, or worse, you're in despair, or worse, you're in apathy. You don't feel anything. You don't care. So yes, you have to rise, but the purpose of rising is to, you know, and this is where maybe the Christian word comes in, to repent, to see, where did you go wrong? Where are you off track? Where are you, you know, that word sin, it just means off the mark. You aimed and then, oh, that's not the mark. Let's just re-aim now that I see I didn't hit the target. So then, yeah, it might not be that popular as an idea because people can really love their ascension, but I still feel committed to offering that. And yeah, thanks for asking, Anis. Amanda, or do you want to respond, Anis?
I just wanted to add, like, just from what I'm seeing, like, it's totally true. Like with all the other kind of, I try to stay diplomatic and kind of not say too much in my position, I guess, these days. But in a sense, it's one of the reasons I was excited for you to come and say it, you know, so that I don't have to say it. But on some level, yes, I see it all the time. And there is an ascension issue in a sense where you're sort of floating or levitating. You're not really grounded in the work. You haven't figured out the root of your... You haven't seen your stuff yet. You haven't done that work. So, and it becomes clear in a high pressure environment, in the crew environment. And so sometimes we can help those individuals, and sometimes they sort of, you know, they need a year off, let's just say, and then they sort of recalibrate and come back again. But yeah, 100%, I agree. it's controversial, but it's important. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like the work. The work, how it opens up for you, you know, I was on that sort of similar trajectory as well. And like, just when you think you know, there's your problem. Like, just when you're on the precipice of thinking I've got it now, like, aha, just that the learning, the mastery is going, oh, I have just this moment here. That's all I have. I don't have, aha, I figured it all out. I've got like people trying to find unified theories and stuff. That's just a lost cause. It's never like that. It just isn't. And it's true. The more you open, the more you become consciously aware, the more you see your shadow, the more you see all of yourself. And you, like, I, how many times do I look back and cringe? Okay, cringe at my former self. I mean, in where the way I was in university, the way I was even in naturopathic college, I go, oh God, I'm, no wonder people acted the way they did in these scenarios or that scenario. Cause I was still sorting myself out. I thought I knew though. I thought I knew that thing, but that was because I'm the template I'm working through, or that avenue is about my confidence. And so because of that, I come confidently into things, and I have to. So then I have to come into forgiveness of self. And really, it's coming into this humble gentleness with your own soul, instead of this beating down of ourselves. How many people do this negative self-talk in their heads, like all the time, right? Oh, that was stupid. Why'd you do that? You know, in your mind, you're like, or even aloud, you'd be like, oh, Amanda, yeah, there you go again. You know, this kind of thing. It's like, no, how about the loving voice of, ah, look at you. Not perfect. Okay. But you are perfect in that imperfection. And so we can just accept it. And I think it's all about that integration and acceptance. And that's ascension. It's not an up or down or left or right. It's this integration that's never ending, ever. Okay. Just when you think you've arrived, you haven't. You can sit there for a while if you want. You're like, ooh, look at me. But that's not the throne you can fall from very easily. So.
Yeah, so people, I think you're onto something. People are always looking for that, right? That foundation. They're like, oh, I'm here. Look, I figured it out. This is how the world is, and this is how I am, and this is... And then they try to operate there for as long as possible before, of course, they sort of have to meet that problem. And,
yeah.
But yeah, so I see that. You know, I see it. That's why I say sometimes it takes maybe... We're going to see with the cycle of this event, because it's, you know, once a year, once every 300... So it's like a significant time, and I'm curious how long it will take some people to kind of figure out that, oh, you know, this is, it didn't work in the community setting because of, you know, first of all, me or my issue. But that's, that takes a couple of years sometimes or more, or for some people, maybe never. But
Beth, you know, one thing you're going to notice here with this festival is that it feels very, very secure and safe. Like, the children just roam, they actually kind of like go in these little hives where they swarm around. You see these like gaggles of children just running and having fun and doing their thing. And all the parents watch all the children. So we all just have deals with each other. Oh, you have my kid? Okay, perfect. Oh yeah, I have your kid. I've got your kid. You cool? Okay, cool. You know what? My kid's going to sleep here. Your kid. Okay. Like that is how it is. And it's so relaxed. You don't feel guilt like, oh dear, you know, Raheem has my child tonight. And I feel like it's normal. It's just the way it's supposed to be in a community where you just naturally help each other. Like I bring an extra tent and table just so the kids can come there and wash up and do stuff. Any of the kids, I can't even keep track of all their names all the time, but they know that that's safe for them. And maybe Anas, you can talk about the bigger picture, because there's a lot of land here. Like this isn't just a festival where you rent a place, whatever. This is a sacred space too, with other layers of community building happening. And so it's very unique. It's the beliefs around it are different than other festivals, you know, where you get that festival energy where it's kind of grungy or you just want to escape from it. Like even the all night soundstage is, how far is it away this year in Ass? Is it like another 10 feet out or
far? Further and yeah, but it's a part of it. It's sort of, no, but the community just shows, you know, they show up in the way that they show up. And it, of course, involves electronic music at night. But sort of, how do we make that work as a community? And you know what? A part of the answer is to have land and have some space. Space, you know, on Earth is like a big part of how we solve our issue, or how we find our path. I think space is a part of it, but you know, if someone's just tuning in general and like sort of wondering about community building, because a lot of people are, they'll immediately go, we need land, we need shelter, we need food, and I'm like, I agree with all that, right? But we also need to get along, and I think that's the one that breaks it. It's not really the other ones usually. Like, people usually try to pay their way out of these situations, and they'll spend a lot of money and they'll get everything you would ever want. But when it comes to the group communicating or connecting or being friends or getting along on the land, so we've seen a few of these projects since the pandemic started, sort of already, and because people aren't getting along. Or they don't know what they're meant to do there. So, yeah. So the land, though, just to go back to it, it is definitely allowed us and was a great inspiration for the festival to begin with. And it's actually three different properties that are kind of connected, two largely. One of them is like an art hub already, like an architectural art kind of cultural hub on the one side, and then the other side used to be a Girl Scouts campground for quite a while, and has a whole ethos there around that. And they all, this is like, didn't make the news, but all the Girl Scouts campgrounds went bankrupt and were sold. So this is kind of one of the reasons we lucked out with the landowners that now own it. It's not, we don't own it, but we sort of have an integrated relationship there. And and so there's a kids program there that happens throughout the year and other retreats, and sort of it's developing that way. And the festival is kind of the big thing that happens there that brings most of the people together. But yeah, just like you said, Amanda, like this is a very unusual festival. Like, and I think the area we live is maybe a part of why it's unusual as well. Like maybe this wouldn't have happened in Florida or in like somewhere else. I don't know, in the Middle East or some like European. Like, but it really, it happened in Toronto, and I think it may be amongst very few other places on earth, I would say, that are more turbulent when it comes to value systems is probably Toronto's really high up there. And I think because of that, we're like a diamond in the rough in a sense. Like we're dealing with the darkest, not dark, I shouldn't say darkest, but sort of the most complex darkness almost is like here. Whereas you can just go like to Rwanda or whatever, and they're just dealing with normal old darkness. Like we're dealing with this like new, very complicated four, like, what is it called? Amanda knows all the words, like all the, all the computer algorithm based, like you were mentioning the social media, like, oh my God, dude, doesn't matter what you do after a while, all of it's going to be algorithm based and connected to each other and connected to one place. And, that's already kind of what's happening. And when they say, the revolution isn't going to be televised, like, no, it's not. It's going to be on Facebook, like everything else. So it's not, so that's the energy I'm in. So the more we develop this, the more we're physical and we're on the land and we're on space. And this will develop over time, like into more intentional community building where people will live there and this sort of thing. But we're doing it the slow, methodical, long-winded way, like that involves this high-pressure environment of a festival. Kind of weeding out who's who and who's going to be truly has the humility and the responsibility to do what even is beyond what we're doing now. It's sort of in layers. So yeah, that's one of the festival is a little bit different than the other ones for sure.
And the food is great, Beth. The food is really top notch. Yeah, which is also rare for festivals.
we're trying actually this year. You'll be really excited to see that. I mean, last year we had one lead and a kind of a team. Now we have like seven different leads, and they're all, one of them is, they all have their own unique roles in prep and whatever in procurement. But we're doing this thing too with foraging, where we want a foraged ingredient in every single menu item this year, and kind of getting into that. Feeding a lot of people that way is tricky. But we're also totally into resiliency in general. And I think you touched on this earlier. And I think, when I say we, I mean all of us, like we're all into resiliency. So it's kind of working that way. And that comes in the form of, we want our first aid to be really high end and really take care of our people and really using alternative or better methods, I should say, than normal healthcare. And then the food is sort of the resiliency piece there is we're developed our own what's called Soulshine Network of farms. And so at this stage, we're connected with a lot of these local farms that are in the festival. They're farmers that are there. You know, like my dad's farm and mine, like where, like even that, you know, the tomatoes are going to come from there. And so it's kind of like a very entrenched system, like our own system. So the next layer of it is when we move out into more intentional communities, we have our own strict farmland and we're working on our own kind of. So it's all like a, it's like a slice of reality for like 4 days, but it's the slice we want to practice with for the bigger game, if that makes sense.
Is your dad making hummus this year again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah. What's I have 90 liters of hummus coming this year.
Unbelievable.
I hear a birdie told me there's some garlic coming that has been, five-year-old might have been harvesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Paul might be the reason we're all like chatting today in this way anyway, but yeah, he's been such a great supporter and he's again, so we've gotten a lot of this as well, like just general participants and community members bringing it in, not just like the farms. But yeah, you can imagine feeding X number of people, maybe won't share it here, but it's like less than 1,000, more than 500, let's just say. and you're feeding them all weekend and, for 4 days. And actually we have lawn crew as well, which is something common and it happens in other festivals, but you know, we have our own version of it. It includes workshops and healing things. But we work hard and the crew kind of gets the momentum going. And so food is also served there and kind of our mini kitchen in a sense for, I say mini, but like the crew grows to about 100 people in size by Thursday. And just so you know, this year we're 240 people on the volunteer crew, which is like really, it's growing. Like, and the fact that we're all getting along and it's like, we're doing something together is just so fun. Like, it's so good.
And you have a really cool incentivization program as well to equalize. So everyone's sort of getting what they put in, they get out of it. So as far as like whatever the fees come in, whatever money, whatever's come in, it's like being shared, depending on how much effort you also put in. Which is really nice because it's not like you work for me and you have to, you know, in that dynamic where it's a job and you just do the grind. It's really that volunteer basis. Like, how hard do you want to work? You know, how many perks do you want or benefits do you want or not? Maybe you don't want the benefits. That's your choice. So that's a really cool structure as well.
And the theme this year is, of course, to embody, embodiment is the theme. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, this model is supposed to be like a part of the theme as well. Like, I feel like I was ready to kind of for year three to get it going. But we really need, if we're going to come up with some sort of equity, meritocracy, anarchy system, I don't know what it is, but it has some sort of merit element in it, right? It's just not up to me to figure it out every day. Like, oh, I'll just try to remember these 300. Like, you know, like you said before, you couldn't even remember X number of names, let alone who did what. Or so coming up with some sort of formula that adjusts for responsibility, skill, and time, and you sort of get these points and it subdivides any income or earnings. I'm learning the words from the legal people. Maybe earnings is better than saying the word income, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. What I'm just like. So all of that, I think, is a part of really trying to do the thing. It might not be perfect, right? Like, this is the whole thing. Like, but let's give it a shot. Let's experiment. Let's actually do the thing instead of like, protesting taught us that, you know, it's great to go out there and get the voice of the people heard or to some degree. But we quickly learned that really we need to be more generative in order to move forward, you know, to actually get what we want. We have to sort of make it happen ourselves. It's something I think the community at large is slowly learning, that it's really up to us. It's not going to be like asking for somebody to do something. Like, nobody's going to do nothing. You know, we've learned that now.
There's a little store in there too now, Beth, where you can pick up just odds and sods, but I've put in some of my products there now. So I'm wholesaling through the community, and I don't wholesale to pretty much anyone, but I will to my community because, you know, we need to share this way. And because it doesn't really like the way my business model is, I don't really benefit from wholesale kind of. But I want there to be access. So it's really cool. It's really, you're going to have a great time. And anyone who comes, it's really, it's not long enough, maybe, you know, you almost feel like you need another day almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe next year we'll open the Thursday option. You can come for, what is it, 5 days at that point? Because it's all over a long weekend or, you know.
Yeah, brilliant. There's so many things I wanted to just pick up on the threads. And I was somewhat raised in that festival culture before things got taken over by, you know, corporate and government structures. And it's exactly what you're describing, where children ran free and you didn't worry. I put my bag down full of cash for the weekend. Mm-hmm. I came back 8 hours. It's exactly where I left it. Nobody would touch it. I wouldn't give it a thought. You know, there's so much sharing going on. Now that really did change. We got the grunge. They made the, in the one festival that I grew up at, they made the beer tent the center, the heart. You know, so all of a sudden alcohol was the heart of the festival and then everything, you know, so I didn't want anything to do with it anymore. Just the quality of humility, how, you know, this is the sign of the true leadership that both of you guys are showing, that your work is humbling you, not making you, you know, into a, you know, someone who's like, oh, I'm in control and I have all the power and you guys better listen to me, shape up or ship out and that kind of thing. Like, just no, real true power is the most humbling thing ever. And so that's beautiful. And then the word I just wanted to reflect what you just said, Anas, if am I saying your name wrong, right? Is Anas, is it a better way to say it? You don't mind?
You're muted.
Yeah, no, thank you for, you know, like trying your best. But yeah, you know what? It's N-S without vowels. Like just three letters. N-S.
Oh yeah, perfect. Perfect. Yeah, there you go. And so you said the word generative. And this is the thing, because as long as we are freedom fighters only, you're only ever reacting to the crap that's thrown at you. You're not creating anything. And to me, that's the step in the hero's journey from the rebel to the warrior. Because in the rebel, like, yes, you have to say no. There are times for that. But if you don't go into the warrior and build infrastructure and create something that could, for many years to come, be a resource and a stability for more than just yourself, then, you know, all of that fight, it's just, you're just going to burn out on that. And kill yourself. So anyway, I just wanted to highlight those. It does sound beautiful and fantastic. And I feel fortunate I've had experiences like this in the festival world that always restore my faith in humanity, that people can actually cooperate and work together and be kind. There was just one real quick story about camping the first year that the pandemic hit, and they didn't allow any of the park patrols into the campground because they were all afraid of the boogeyman. And it was the best camping ever because why? We handled ourselves like adults. And if there was any conflict, we talked to each other and we worked it out and we didn't need them. Nothing wrong happened because they weren't there. Right. So that, I love seeing that.
Mm-hmm. It's like an invitation to step up. Right. And if we're going to be adults, which is, a lot of this is a test, can you grow up? Can you, because a lot of people, let's face it, are just infants in a way inside of their adult bodies and not growing up. I mean, growing up means taking self-responsibility, which means you don't booze yourself all day long. You're not chasing the dragon all day. You're looking at what your vision is for your soul and you're putting that into practice every day. And yeah, you have fun, but it's not the type of fun where you're doing self-harm like that. And maybe we even need to address that in all the communities, you know, drug use and what do we do it for? Are we really doing it for spiritual purposes or are we abusing it? You know, and where's the line in between the two? Generally it's consciousness. I find it's about, if you're doing it very conscious and very aware and with a purpose, then okay, it's a spiritual tool. If you're just doing it because I had a bad day or I don't want it anymore, you're doing it as an escape. So be aware, you know, we're not perfect. We need those pressure valves being released sometimes, but if it's a habit, and the whole festival, Soulshine Festival, is discourages alcohol, especially. There are, you know, it's a little bit still happens, but it's not prevalent. You don't feel that. And even at the soundstage, it's dancing all night. You feel connected to the people. dancing. It doesn't feel like everyone has to be blasted out from drugs, because you're actually doing it from a natural high, from a natural joy of dancing and celebrating. And I think we really need to grow up in those areas. And that's really the mark of who gets part of this tribe and who's moving forward and who's going to be sort of sucked into the 15-minute city situation.
Yeah. And you know, even with the form of the festival, right, we've got the workshops during the day, all the inner work, we have all like the hard stuff. And then the music is in the end to celebrate. Like everything's compartmentalized and everyone does it together. And I think that also helps. We're not just like music all the time and dancing and all this. But you'd also find this probably fun, Beth. But this year, at the heart of our festival, we have what's called the Elixir Bar, which is new. And it'll sell like teas and cacao, this and kombucha or whatever, whatever you guys want. Sort of to push us in that direction and create some funds for the community as well. Because this anything that happens like that newly will just be connected to that, what's called the fair share model. But, you know, so yeah, that's what we're doing to really solidify, like if someone wants to have an elixir, like there's ones, you know, with the right herbs that'll make you feel like, you know, excited or drowsy or whatever it is you're after. There's ways around it if you really were after that, but really just high quality, like juices and that sort of thing. You know, like apple juice from the site or whatever, you know? So, yeah.
Yep. You're muted, Beth.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it sounds amazing. And it would make a great focus at some point, Amanda, just to talk about that. Because, you know, the vulnerability to addictions has been off the charts. More so if you had any inclination towards that, then it can become a really big battle. And I know people need a lot of help with that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's beautiful. So, Ennis, I know that your time is a little bit limited now. And if you need to go, Amanda, I didn't actually check what your time frame was. We're already about just going on 90 minutes into it. My only last thing that I wanted to, I mean, there's always more that we can talk about. It could go on and on into infinity. But not talk about. The only last thing I wanted to do was share a song about embodiment, because I was just hearing your embodiment word, and I'm like, it reminded me of one of my songs, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh wow, that's right on point. So I can either, you know, sing it now or later, even if you go and then you can just hear the recording, it's no problem at all. So but I just thought I was going to do that. Is there any?
That was beautiful. But...
okay, so good. Is there anything else that you guys wanted to talk about first? Amanda, for sure, can you let people know, for anyone out there who's not already been to your websites, you know, what you offer and how they take you up on that?
Sure, yeah. Yemi.doctor, there's no .com, there's nothing like that. Doctor's the domain. So many people do that. They put yemi.doctor and then something else, but it's just yemi.doctor. And I have all my courses that are launching, the membership there. Where the next one to launch is 30 Days to Better Health. So that's a really big course. What's popular right now is my heavy metal cleanse and parasite cleanse. It's a one course that helps you clean up the metals, because the parasites are there because there's food for them. So we're getting rid of that food and then they can off they go. So that's been really great. But what we're doing inside is we have groups for each course, and then I do lives inside so that people aren't just taking a course blindly. They're getting support through it. And if there's any nuances for their particular cases, then I can address that. And then eventually we'll have coaches who will be able to help people with their, you know, specific health needs. You know, maybe they run a course, they still find they have aspects that are unique, then they can be, you know, directly managed that way and supported that way. So that's really exciting. Yumnaturals.store, of course, and DMSO.store. And healingwithdmso.com for my book, and the book can be found on other platforms. Still on Telegram, Healthy Dose of Truth, and my name is the bigger channel, and I'm on Patreon still, but you know, here and there. I don't go on that one very much, but I do Substack writing, and I have been enjoying that lately, so you can find me there as well. So yeah, it's been great. Thanks, Beth. Thanks, Ines, and we're looking forward to all getting together physically at Soulshine this year. I have a festival before Soulshine, which is totally weird because I haven't gone anywhere for a long time, but I'm going to California next week to Music and Sky. So that's exciting. I still don't know what I'm going to talk about there either. I kind of have an idea, but I honestly, I don't know. What I'm...
Can't go wrong.
No,
you just open your mouth and show up, and you'll be sharing good stuff with people. Just to repeat, Anas Arya is the creator of Soulshine Festival. If you have any inclination whatsoever, go to soulshinefestival.ca, have a look and see. It's a good time to jump in if you are like-minded, if everything that you heard today is dinging for you, saying, yeah, that's me, this is something that I want to be part of, then now is a really good time to jump in before I hear that you guys might sell out. And so, not to make it scarce for people or anything like that, I don't like that kind of marketing at all. But now is a good time to make that choice. I have 5 friends coming. I feel so happy that they've been coming from Prince Edward Island and the Ontario area, doing a little convoy. So pretty exciting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really good. So does that feel like we're cooked for today?
I think so. Sounds good.
Okay.
Yeah, totally. And by the way, I just want to say what you're doing, Amanda, with all the all the protocols and the lecture, and that whole program is amazing. I think people should definitely check it out because that's like the sort of thing that is rare. I don't know of too many programs like that and with that much knowledge packed in. So yeah, good job.
Thank you. Yeah, it's and a lot of work, so but it's worth it.
Oh yeah, totally. Yes. And no, but really, thank you, Beth. Really, this was awesome. I haven't talked about Soulshine on camera before, so this is the first time.
So. Okay. Oh, I'm so honored. Yeah, super honored. You did amazing, by the way, just in case you had any doubt about having
I'll watch it after. We'll see.
Right? You're a natural, buddy. You're a natural. Yeah.
Very exactly. Sorry that I had to rush us a little, but this was truly wonderful. Thank you so much.
No problem at all.
You made it on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So check out. Yeah, play the song. Play the song.
Okay. And real quick, I want to make a few announcements. I'm hosting Cyrus Caleb on Monday for an interview, and we're going to talk about purpose. This is a really beautiful thing where he's coming from. That you were in the seed of God. Right? We're always like, what's my purpose? What am I here to do? Who am I? But God knew our purpose before we were born. And one of the things that I've discovered about purpose is that there's no purpose on our own. Doesn't matter what you do, how much you create, how fantastic you are. It really is about our people. And that's the educating, the humbling nature of it all. Also, the Journey Code coaching certification training is coming up. We're more than half full. So if anyone is interested in training themselves to work with archetypes and to learn some what are actually very simple tools of deprogramming, not so simple to coach with those tools. That's highly nuanced. To take people into their unconscious, then put up your hand. There is a link to listen to the open house that I did. So you can hear all of the details to that. It doesn't start for another 5 weeks. So there's some time to have a conversation with me. Everybody in there is very well vetted since we talked a lot about vetting today. So this is a Sanskrit mantra. And luckily the English means more or less what the Sanskrit means. Sajayati artha sanniyasi purna swarasa vigraha akratrimo navachinne samadhiryasya varatate. The mind's eye goes inside, no desire having realized the purity, perfect embodiment of bliss and victory, embodiment of bliss and victory. The mind's eye goes inside, no desire having realized the purity, perfect embodiment of bliss and victory. Embodiment of bliss and victory.
That's beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, some of these songs that I've written a long time ago, I'm like, wow, I was playing for myself right now. There it is, right? Lovely. Yeah, it spoke to me.
I bought new bongos this year, so watch out.
All right, we'll be jamming.
Yeah, bring them to the Friday drum circle where we're going to have 500 people drumming, and it's going to be crazy. It's going to be so good.
Amazing. Thank you both for joining me. This has been a sheer pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Amanda. And now I get to hug you and see you in person. And I'm bringing my 16-year-old, so I can't call him a kid anymore. He's really offended by that, but our offspring we're going to meet.
My daughter will be running around and you'll get to meet her, and it's going to be great. Yeah, I look forward to it.
How beautiful. Thank you, everyone, for coming. It's been fantastic. And I think that's it for now. See you Monday at 2 p.m. for Cyrus Caleb. Yeah. All right. Bye,
everyone. Right. Bye.
Okay, guys. Thank you. Much love.
See you later.
Bye.